You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. For today's show, I'm going to go through the free agent outfield market and talk about who the Mets could target if they don't go all in on George Springer. The first half of the show, I'll go through some of the center fielders that make sense for the Mets. Then later on in the second half of the show, I'll talk about how the Mets could get creative either by adding a corner outfielder or going into the trade market for a different center fielder. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So let's start with Kevin Pillar. This is a guy that won a gold glove in Toronto years ago, used to be known as the defensive first center fielder, and over the course of his career, that's kind of shifted. Now he's more of a right fielder, can still play center field, but he was worth minus four defensive runs saved this year and minus six defensive runs saved in 2019. Still, you're talking about a guy that's gotten better offensively over those two seasons, actually. 2019 eclipsing 20 home runs, and this past year still being an above average offensive contributor. The question is, does that fit for the Mets to have another subpar defensive center fielder out there? It doesn't make a lot of sense when you have Brendan Nimmo already serving a similar role while being a better offensive player. So Pillar is a guy the Mets could target, but it doesn't really make a ton of sense, especially as they're getting more analytically driven and they're going to see those downgrading defensive metrics as a big reason not to sign him. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Jake Marisnyk, guy who spent this past season with the Mets but was hurt far too often, only got 34 plate appearances. Still in that very limited sample, he was hitting pretty well, hit .333. With a .353 on base percentage, .606 slugging percentage, had two home runs, really buoying that, and had a .959 OPS. Marisnyk is a very interesting target because I think he will be pretty cheap. I don't imagine Marisnyk getting a monster contract this offseason. I think he's going to get a one-year deal, try to reset his value, and maybe he wants to return to the Mets after spending this shortened season with them. I look at Marisnyk as an interesting option if you're going to keep going with Brendan Nimmo out in center field. Marisnyk is the perfect platoon partner, a right-handed bat. He would be a huge upgrade as a fourth outfielder over Malik Smith, who's kind of penciled into that role for now, who the Mets signed to a minor league deal, but he's not a good hitter. Marisnyk at least has some pop. He looks like he knows what he's doing at the plate. I know throughout his career, his numbers have not been overall positive as an offensive player, but you do see the tools there, former top prospect that can figure it out. I think if the price is right, if the Mets end up going another route as far as maybe it's Lindor and Real Muto or wherever they go through free agency and trades, if it does not end up with George Springer on the Mets and you don't get the next guy I'm going to talk about here, Jackie Bradley Jr., Jake Marisnyk is a very nice plan C. He's a good fallback option for this team, a guy that can play center field and might surprise you with his offensive contributions, can really hit left-handed pitching. So I think that is actually a very good option for the Mets if they choose to go that route. Then you get to Jackie Bradley Jr., who is clearly the only other bona fide starting center fielder on the market. George Springer is the impact player that teams think can really be a five-tool type guy still. And Bradley doesn't quite have the same tools, but he is outstanding defensively. The best defensive center fielder on the market, no doubt. Won a Gold Glove in 2018, and he's had his moments offensively. He was an All-Star in 2016. He won the ALCS MVP in 2018 before they went on to win the World Series. And he's had these seasons throughout his career, similar to this one, where he's in that 118, 119 range when it comes to his OPS plus, which again is a metric that grades out hitters based on a league average of 100. So you look at Jackie Bradley Jr. this year, he hit 283 with a 364 on base percentage and a 450 slugging percentage, good for an 814 OPS and that 118 OPS plus. He had 7 home runs, 11 doubles, 22 RBIs, and 32 runs scored in his 55 games played. I look at Jackie Bradley Jr. as an awesome option for the Mets. He would really transform them defensively, more than Springer for sure. This is a guy that's been worth 49 outs above average since 2016. This past season, he was worth 7 outs above average, grading out as the second best outfielder based on that metric. You bring him in, and I think the Mets defense gets markedly better. The problem is he's left-handed, so you run into this situation where your outfield would become very lefty-heavy with Bradley, Nimmo, and Conforto. But here's a scenario where I see Bradley making a lot of sense for the Mets. If they end up trading Brandon Nimmo to acquire Francisco Lindor, now you're in a circumstance where that extra left-handed bat doesn't quite matter. You can have him play center, Conforto, and right. And then you look to add a guy in the corner, like maybe a Marcell Ozuna type or a Yasiel Puig, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute here. But those are the type of guys that can slot into left field. If you have an elite defensive center fielder, it also wouldn't hurt you if you had to go the Dominic Smith route and left. I still think you want to stay away from that, but that is an option for the Mets. You could also see a scenario where the Mets go Jeff McNeil in left, Bradley in center, Conforto in right, and maybe you get some infield help. So if that is Lindor and a Howie Kendrick to help spot some of these guys, I don't really know exactly the way the Mets would like to go when it comes to their infield. Do they trust Andrés Giménez and Luis Guillorme in everyday roles? How does Ahmed Rosario factor in? Do any of these guys go out in a Lindor trade? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered when you talk about filling out this roster. But what I will say is, depending on the moves they make, depending on who's potentially traded, Jackie Bradley Jr. could make a lot of sense for the Mets. And in some circumstances, maybe even more sense than Springer, because let's just theoretically say you can get Jackie Bradley Jr. for $10 million less per year. That's a contract the Mets really had to think about here, because you could potentially get two players for the price of one. Now, in that circumstance, there are some corner outfielders that would be very interesting for the Mets. I'll talk about them in just a minute. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and they have a really special offer for you during this holiday season. If you're dreaming of a white Christmas, lucky for you, Built Bar is introducing the all-new white chocolate bar while supplies last. This begins on Thanksgiving Day at 5 p.m. They are releasing the white chocolate cookies and cream bar, which has only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and just 5 grams of sugar. They also have the white chocolate salted caramel bar, which has the same calories, the same protein, and 1 less gram of sugar. Along with these new bars, you will get 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. These are awesome deals, awesome bars. I cannot wait to order mine on Thanksgiving. And the best part is all of their products all weekend long will be 25% off. So if you want to take advantage of these great deals, go to builtbar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to get that extra percentage off. So go to builtbar.com, customize your box, and try out these awesome new bars for the holiday season. If the Mets don't add a center fielder, there are a group of corner outfielders that could interest the Mets, maybe to play alongside Jackie Bradley Jr. Let's start with Michael Brantley. He's coming off a great last few years playing with the Houston Astros, had some injury concerns in the middle of his career, but seems to have ironed that out. He's been healthy the last three seasons. Not the best defender anymore. He'll be 34 years old, but this is still a guy who can rake, could be a 300 hitter for you, drive in runs, just be a steady contributor in the middle of your lineup. I don't think he's the number one option for the Mets or even maybe in their top five of guys they want to target to play the outfield, but they should be in contact with his agent because this is a guy that can help you win. And for the right price, if things shake in the right way, it might make sense to add him to the roster. Marcell Ozuna is clearly the most intriguing offensive candidate, potentially in free agency. I mean, let's be honest, this is a guy that led the NL with 18 home runs and 56 RBIs, playing for the Atlanta Braves, finished 6th in the MVP voting, won a Silver Slugger. He just turned 30. I'm sure this next season he can still produce at an elite level offensively. The question is, what is he defensively? This year he became the Braves DH for the most part. He just turned 30 years old. I think there was still a time where, you know, he played center field with the Marlins, so there's some defensive background to fall back on. But I know there's been some concerns about his arm and the health issues that surround that arm, and maybe that's why he hasn't seen that long-term contract. Yet, you look at his career, he's played in 120 games or more in each of the last six seasons. This year, played every game in the shortened season. His defense might not be great, but it's better than Dom Smith. So I could see a scenario here where the Mets go with Marcell Ozuna, and maybe it is that package of you trade Nimmo to get Lindor instead of spending $25 million on George Springer. Maybe you spend $28 and split it between Ozuna and Jackie Bradley Jr. And now you have an elite defensive center fielder. You have an awesome corner outfielder offensively, and I think Ozuna in left can hang out there. You can definitely give him some time at DH and throw Dominic Smith out there, Jeff McNeil out there. You can mix and match a little bit, but I think he can still play 100 games out in left field at least. So he is a really interesting option for the Mets, at least offensively, and I think it's definitely somebody who we already know they've been in contact with, but they will remain in contact with, and depending on how his market kind of evolves, it could make a lot of sense to add Marcell Ozuna, even if the Mets don't bring in Francisco Lindor and have Brandon Nimmo. When you have a bat that potent in Ozuna, you tend to make those things work. So I definitely think that is one option the Mets could go with. Then you go to Yasiel Puig. Now, what's interesting about Puig, he did not play this year. He is now represented by Trevor Bauer's agent, Rachel Luba. Maybe a package deal. You get Bauer and Puig. That could work for the Mets. This is a guy with a rocket of an arm. He's been an up and down player throughout his career. You could talk about him being polarizing. I still think he's a good player. He's such a great athlete. Has all that power. Probably wants to prove it still and get that big contract in free agency he's never quite cashed in on. So if you signed him to a one-year prove-it deal, I think that could work for the Mets. You could play him in left. You could play him in right if you wanted to move Conforto to left. A lot of ways you can structure the outfield with Puig. He might not be elite anymore in any of these categories, but I think he's good all around and definitely a nice option for the Mets to potentially buy low on a guy that could really outperform a contract. From there, you have Brett Gardner as another candidate in the free agent market, although I'd be really concerned bringing in a 37-year-old who could go through a steep decline, yet this is a winner. Brett Gardner is a guy you just like to watch play baseball. He hustles. He's an incredible leader. He plays with an aggression that I don't see a lot of nowadays in some of these players, and He's one of those guys that just seems to find more playing time than you expect. You know, you come into the year and he's supposed to be a fourth outfielder and he ends up starting 140 games. That's just kind of how this guy rolls. 2019, he had an 829 OPS, had an outstanding season. 20 in home runs, 74 RBIs. This year, his numbers took a slight hit. His on-base percentage was still great, 354. He's going to give you a professional at-bat, that's for sure. But the slugging percentage did go down a bit, and that's why his OPS dipped down to 747. Defensively, he makes up for his decline in athleticism with his baseball instincts and veteran experience. Then again, I don't know how much that translates when you move him out of the Yankee Stadium outfield and put him into Citi Field. Look, Yankee Stadium's hard to play, but that guy's been playing it for over a decade, so he knows exactly where to be on all these balls, reads them incredibly well. No one plays that outfield better than Brett Gardner, and I do wonder if he would have the same success playing in a bigger outfield in Citi Field that he doesn't quite know as well. Now let's talk real quick about the trade candidates I'm most interested in. Might do a deeper dive on these guys if we ever actually see the Mets linked to them or if we ever see them floated on the market. But the two guys, when it comes to defensive center fielders that you want to target, it's Kevin Kiermaier and Byron Buxton. Kiermaier, we just saw with the Rays in the World Series. When I did that podcast a few weeks back talking about contracts the Mets could target, Kiermaier was one of them because he is the highest paid player on the Rays roster at $11.5 million, will be owed $12 million in 2022 with the $13 million club option in 2023, which also has a $2.5 million buyout. This is around the same time in a contract where the Rays traded Evan Longoria. Had a couple years left, they move him, and I think they're going to want to get some value from Kiermaier one way or another. After him having an amazing World Series, it could be time to deal him. That being said, I would be wary of trading prospects of the Rays because they seem to always find the diamonds in the rough. So be hesitant in making a deal with the Rays, but if you bring in a player like Kiermaier who would completely transform you defensively, I do think it is an option worth pursuing. Finally, to Buxton, he's actually coming off maybe his best offensive season in some respects. I mean, shortened season, of course, but 13 home runs in 39 games is pretty impressive. Injuries have prevented him throughout his career from really getting going and being the type of player he was supposed to be when he was the best prospect in baseball. He's only had one really healthy season, and he won a Gold Glove that year, but other than that, it's always been injuries with Buxton. I'd be nervous to trade for him. You have two more years of team control. Still, he is the type of upside player that can really transform you. If he's healthy, if he's in there every day, he's going to do some incredible things in the outfield, and he still has some pop and some upside with his bat as well. So that's a guy that, you know what, you want to take a big swing, trade for Byron Buxton. All of this is to say that there are some other options the Mets can go with if they don't sign George Springer, but George Springer still might be the preferred way to go. I will talk about that more on Friday as we get into whether or not the Mets should sign George Springer and what type of contract he will receive. Also on Friday, I will break down anything newsworthy that comes out of Steve Cohen's interview with Steve Gelfs on SNY, which will be at 7 p.m. tonight on Wednesday. On yesterday's show, I had said that I was going to talk about that today because I was misinformed. I thought that interview was taking place on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday. So we'll get to that later on in the week as well. Anyway, I wish all of your families a happy Thanksgiving. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast. And don't forget, you can always tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.